You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. Matthew Leach talking Philadelphia Phillies with MLB.com's Phillies beat reporter Todd Zalecki. Todd, you wrote recently on a topic that keeps coming up for a variety of reasons, that the Phillies are not in any hurry to trade Cole Hamels or Jonathan Papelbon. Now, on one level, that's not really news because they've had that option for going on who knows how long now, and they haven't. So, in one sense, it's not news that they're not in a hurry. On the other hand, as you noted, there are more and more reasons to think that clubs might be calling, particularly about Hamels, but really about both guys. The Cardinals lost an ace. The Blue Jays are dealing with who knows what at the back of their bullpen. The Red Sox are in dire need of starting pitching. What do you make of this? Do you really think, has anything changed in the last couple of weeks as far as the pressures or the motivation or the options for the Phillies with these two guys?
Well, I think certainly the options have increased, but in terms of the motivation to trade these guys, reasons to move on it now, not so much. But certainly I think the Phillies, you know, the Phillies have been saying for a while, like, listen, we're not just going to give these guys away. This isn't a money-shedding type of baseball decision we have to make. We're not trying to cut payroll, you know, so we're going to wait for the right decision. Now, depends on who you talk to. You know, nationally there's reports that the Phillies are asking for way too much and just being ridiculous about everything they want for Cole Hamels and Papelbon and everybody else. And then you talk to other people and say, like, we really haven't gotten a really fantastic offer for any of those guys yet. So I think the Phillies right now, they feel pretty good about where they are in the sense that, you know, Hamels and Papelbon have never really had any sort of injury history. They've been healthy pretty much their entire career. All these other teams are having issues, and they see maybe if they can't get exactly what they want, maybe getting close to what they want at some point. But I think they're going to definitely continue to let this play out. But, you know, if the Red Sox come tomorrow and say, hey, all right, we'll give you Blake Swihart, Henry Owens, and a couple other guys, I think the Phillies would pull the deal. But I don't think they're going to go, you know what, we see all these other pitchers getting hurt. We got to get rid of these guys before they get hurt. I think they're going to hold on to them and take the chances that they stay healthy and keep producing.
Do you think that St. Louis is more of an option now than it was a week ago? I mean, we think of the Cardinals as this patient organization, this sort of long-view organization, but that's a roster that's built to win right now. Do you think that with Wainwright going down, that the equation changes as far as St. Louis as a possible destination for Hamels?
I think so, yeah. I think any of these teams right now that has starting pitching help and is built to win, like you said, has to at least make that phone call. It would almost be negligent on a team's part if they didn't make a phone call about Cole Hamels and just see what they have to offer. Now, you know, the Phillies would love to have at least get at least one solid quality bat back in any deal, I think, for Hamels. You know, maybe the Cardinals can accommodate them in that regard. But I look at teams like the Cardinals, I look at teams like the Red Sox, you know, the Dodgers, teams that have a roster that if you didn't at least pursue it, you kind of would wonder what's going on because you've already committed this money, you have the talent there, and you at least need to kind of at least explore the opportunity or explore the option of acquiring a guy like Hamels. And as we've seen before, everybody loves the prospects, and I get that, but how often does the prospect pan out? You know, you look back at all the prospects. The Phillies traded a ton of prospects for Halladay, Cliff Lee, Roy Oswalt, Hunter Pence, and none of those guys to date so far has really come back to haunt them. You know, there's not a, you know, Lou Brock to the Cardinals type of situation right now with any of these guys the Phillies traded away. I guess what I'm trying to say is at some point, some general manager is going to have to go, you know what, we're going to have to roll the dice here, and you know what, you got to give up some good guys every once in a while, and I think that's what the Phillies are hoping for and waiting for.
I know that Hamels hasn't always been, excuse me, the fastest starter at times anyway, but is there some reason at all to wonder what you're getting if you acquire Cole Hamels right now? At the risk of scouting the stats, guy's walked 16 guys in five starts, and he's walked at least three in four of his five starts. Is anything look amiss to you when you see him pitch?
Honestly, it really doesn't. I'm not too worried about his about those walks right now. Now, like you said, he's always been a really, really slow starter. So I guess if that carries into May, deep May, and he's still walking a ton of guys or giving up a ton of home runs, his first few starts, he was giving up, it seemed like, a couple home runs every couple innings, the way it was going. But he is a slow starter, and for that reason, I guess I'm not too overly concerned about it. I haven't heard any scouts really express any concern about it, and I guess based off of just those conversations, I got to think that people think it is just an early season thing or just him not being quite on point with his command and that eventually those things will kind of iron itself out.
Another thing you reported recently that I think should have Phillies fans encouraged is that it appears that they're sort of starting to make preparations for when Michael Franco arrives. That's not this week or next week, but that has gone from an if to a when. First, what are they seeing from Franco in the minors that's maybe more encouraging than what he's done at times, what he did at times in the past last year when he was kind of hot and cold?
Yeah, he's just been a lot more consistent this season at the plate. And when I've talked to Ruben Amaro Jr. about it and others, you know, he has been a very streaky guy. Last season he started really, really slowly. And I think what they've been hoping for is just to see that kind of consistency develop. And, you know, he finished last season pretty strong. He went in winter ball, kind of carried that in the winter ball. Now, he did not play well at all in spring training. He really did not look good at all in spring training, but he went down to minor league camp, kind of got the ball rolling again, and then he carried that into the first several weeks of the Triple-A season. So they are encouraged in that regard. They do really like the guy a lot. You know, he's a right-hand power bat, which is something they desperately need. But he's also and this I can say because I've actually never personally seen him hit since I've seen him in two spring trainings and once last season in September with the Phillies. I've never actually seen the guy hit on a consistent basis, but I have seen him play really good defense at third base. And so I think they're hoping that he can be kind of that total package of corner, power-hitting infielder with a great glove to go along with it. And that's why they're kind of talking about – they're not talking about – that's why they asked Cody Ashby to start taking some fly balls in left field the other day.
And is this also in any way something of an acknowledgement that Cody Ashby is a nice player but maybe not more than that? I mean, there seemed to be this fascination with Ashby that again, he's a useful player. He's not a bad player, but he doesn't seem like somebody who's got star in his future. Is there in any way maybe partially an acknowledgement on the Phillies' part that Ashby is a guy that you move to make room for somebody else maybe, and Franco is a guy that you move things around to make room for?
Yes, I think so. You know, they do like Cody Ashby a lot. They see him as a future guy on this team. I think what they see is we talked to Ryan Sandberg about this the other day. They see him maybe as being like a 275 guy on a good year, 20, 25 home runs, you know, 75, 80 RBIs, maybe like that six-hole hitter, seven-hole hitter type of player that they've had in the past. Like Pedro Feliz had a similar type of year in 2008 when they won the World Series, like that type of guy. But they view Michael Franco better defensively at third base, which I think is really the big reason for this move. And also, his bat plays, and you've got to make – when this guy comes up, they can't sit Michael Franco on the bench, you know, play him a couple days a week and have him sit for 3 days and then bring him in for a couple days. When they call up Michael Franco, they think so highly of his bat and his glove that they want him out there as much as possible. So, when they look at it, they go, you know, we've got to find another spot in the field for Cody Ashby to play, and they think he's athletic enough to play left field, and certainly he's got more pop and more of an arm in left field than Ben Revere does.
And then one last thing. The Phillies activated Dominic Brown and optioned him, and it seems like maybe that blindsided Brown a little bit, though it also didn't seem like it was that big a surprise to anybody but Brown. How did this come together? Is this a big deal? Is this a small deal? It's kind of a strange situation, it seems.
It definitely is a strange situation because he's a former All-Star that's making $2.5 million this year, and the only other Phillies player I can remember that was optioned with a million-dollar deal was Brett Myers in 2008, but he had to accept that assignment. He was struggling as a starter. They wanted to send him down to get him straightened out, and he accepted that deal, and then obviously came back up and pitched pretty well. But so it is certainly unusual with his salary, with his All-Star credentials. But I think it has to do with a couple of things. One is they do still see some potential in him, and they want to get him straightened out so when he comes up to the big leagues, he's comfortable with the swing and he can kind of jump in and hopefully start producing right away. But also I think it was a little bit of a wake-up call for him because he just assumed he was going to be called up. He wasn't performing. And I think nobody has said this publicly, but I get the feeling they kind of want to maybe light a fire under him a little bit because in the past he said stuff, you know, when you talk to him about being possibly optioned and whatnot, he's kind of been nonchalant about it. Like, well, you know, if it happens, it happens. I'm not going to worry too much about it. Whatever they decide is okay with me. And I think they wanted to let him know that, hey, you know what, the way you're playing right now is not acceptable, just so you know. And we need you to start playing better if you're going to contribute. And I know a lot of people have said, well, Grady Sizemore struggling in right field, Jeff Francoeur struggling in right field. Why not just let Brown come up and swing his way out of it? And like I said, I Sizemore and Francoeur are not part of the Phillies' future, whereas Brown might be. So they're trying to put him in a position to succeed, even if, you know, whatever the percentage of that chance is that he does succeed.
All right. Well, Todd Zielecki, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.